KQSS Miami.
It's country and more,
Mila 101.9.com. And it's right about 5:30. I'm Raleigh James, and this is a little different. This is the maiden voyage, and it's the maiden voyage of two things: the new studio and District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey, who is going to do his community meeting for the Globe Miami area right here. And he is live in studio with me, and I am not prepared for this one iota, but I know Tim has. So, Tim, what's going on?
Well, I guess first of all is thank you very much for doing this. I appreciate you getting us up on the air. I used to do my Claypool meeting. Sometimes we had quite a few people. Sometimes we had very few people. Kind of depended what was going on. And then when COVID came, the fire department asked us not to have our meetings there. And so we didn't have. And so as the world kind of gets back on its feet again, I thought, you know, maybe we can get more participation from a radio program than we can showing up in a building. I know in my rural areas like Gaisela and things like that, Tonneau Basin, I can have, you know, 15 to 30 people, yeah, depending. And so I thought I would try this and give people the opportunity to talk. There's no agenda. If you have a question, call in and ask me. I may not have the answer, but we'll find it for you. And if you've got an issue or wondering what's going on with the county, you know, like they say, call in, Raleigh, and they have that number.
I'm about to give it to you once again.
Right.
In fact, no excuses, because it's toll-free. So no matter where you are, this will work. And that is 888-876-5593. It's easy to remember, egotistical that I am. It's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So 888-876-5593. And yes, I borrowed my toll-free lines from a show I do elsewhere, but that's a nice way that everybody can call in toll-free. And, you know, it's funny, as I said, it's a maiden voyage for the studio, too, and I recognize strongly that I have a noise problem, but we're just going to have to get through it, and you can kind of hear it on the microphones, but hopefully you don't hear it at home, and if you do, you do, but I'll isolate that before the next broadcast. Now, the nice thing about this is that we're going to do this monthly, well, as long as Tim's willing to, and that will give you plenty of time to get used to the fact that this is on the radio, and you can call in, and Tim is welcome to have guests as time goes on as well, and no subject is off limits, literally. So whatever's on your mind.
Yeah, within my realm. I'm here as the county supervisor, District 2. So the thing of it is if it's something within my realm, I'm happy to help you with. And if not, well, then we can work on whose realm it is and get you pointed in the right direction.
So Tim is not going to solve the grand unified theory.
No, I'm not. Right now, we are just kind of getting ready for floods. And the fires that we've had over the last 3 years in this district have been enormous, from the Woodbury fire to the Bush fire, and now they call it the Telegraph fire because the Telegraph and Moscow fire grew together over 200,000 acres. And I think the other day we got like an inch of rain, which is calibrated like a 5-year flood, and Six Shooter Canyon ran out in the road and in many houses. And so this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg for this area, and our monsoon clouds are building up right now. And so we have been able to obtain some money. Governor Ducey's declared a state of emergency and set aside $100 million for the state of Arizona for fire mitigation and things of that nature. And it's set up in a grant form. It's not just here's a bunch of money. It's we have to kind of put a grant together on what we're spending money for and then apply through DEMA, through the state, is who it's handled with. And so we have been able to hire local contractors, and I believe about 9 of them, and all of them are local contractors. And not all of them are there at the same time. They come and go because they have obligations. But my hat's off to the local contractors for taking time away from some of their other projects to help us get in these creeks and waterways to get out some of the debris. And I don't know if you've been up Six Shooter or Ice House or even Miami, but we've gone in and tried to remove as much debris as we can. And they've been working diligently to open these waterways. So as we get more flooding, perhaps maybe it won't plug up the culverts and the bridges and the waterways so that the water gets out of its channel, because that's when it gets really, really disruptive. And so that's kind of some of the things that we've been doing at this point.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, last year we got virtually no rain, and everybody agreed that we need rain. But life is certainly uncertain, because here comes the fire, and the next thing you know, here comes the rain. And it did set up a potentially very dangerous thing, not only to property, but lives as well. And I don't think for this season we've seen the end of either fire or rain.
No, and the thing of it is it's widespread throughout the county, because the Woodbury Fire took out the road 88, and we still have flooding problems in Roosevelt on Campaign Creek every time we get a rain in that area. We got a half inch of rain after the bushfire, which put 9 feet of sediment on 188. And so, you know, all of that country, like you say, we haven't had any rain, so there's been no growth. And without any growth, then there's nothing to hold the water back, or even the mud and the dust and all the settlement. So we're in jeopardy from one end of this district pretty much to the other.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's interesting. It's almost like you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave, between the construction that was on 60 and then the fire on 60 and then 70 closed for a while and 77 closed for a while. And then you think, well, you can go through Payson, and then the junction there had that accident. There were dicey times.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, the thing of it is I've been trying to put together like an emergency service area, because we're just kind of the tip of the iceberg. During the fire, the Red Cross, the Arizona Humane Society, and the Salvation Army, which I thank them all very, very much for being here with bells on to provide a place for the animals and for people and hot meals and things of that nature. And but now they've kind of gone home. The Red Cross is still in a small way and willing to be here, but the Red Cross is a volunteer operated organization. And so as we get into the next 5 years, we're looking at extensive problems with flooding, because our monsoons just started. Then we get it in October, and then we get it around December, January. And it's going to be like this for the next 5 years. So if there's people listening that would like to volunteer to maybe perhaps help when some of these areas get flooded, I have talked to Red Cross, and they told me that in order for me to get an emergency center, we would need more volunteers. And so if someone would care to volunteer and to maybe have a little training program with the Red Cross on how to be a volunteer with the Red Cross and support the Red Cross, that's somebody that I can get you in contact with. And my assistant at the county, you can sure call that number, and that is 928-402-4418. And Terry Lynx is my assistant.
Okay.
And if you care to do any volunteer work, we can sure work with you to get you set up with the Red Cross, because we have a lot of problems coming our way, and just what they're going to be, we don't know for sure. And but we do know that with 1 inch of rain, we displaced a lot of people and animals up Six Shooter Canyon and kind of the Russell Gulch area. So
give me that number again.
That number is 928-402-4418. If you care to volunteer, in some of these emergencies that are going to pop up. And if we get enough volunteers, then perhaps we can set up an area to perhaps do an emergency center. It's kind of what I've been working on, and it's a long time reach. But we're pretty much in a state of emergency right now, and I'm not so sure that that'll come out as long as we're raining, because until we get growth on the mountains and get some of these burn scars growing back, the opportunity for flooding and sediment coming down is high.
Now, are you saying 5 years because of the recent fire? What's the five-year indicator?
A five-year indicator is about how long it's estimated for the shrubs, grass, things of that nature to grow back on the landscape, so that when it does rain, it's holding that moisture back. Because a lot of this area that the fire went through, it burnt the ground as well. Oh, so some of that ground is hard as concrete.
Yes.
So pretty much every drop of rain that hits it is running off. It's not soaking in, and there's nothing to hold it.
Now, for homeowners who are saying, you know, this is going to be a problem for me, what can I do to protect my property? What are some of the obvious tips that people can do to prepare for this?
Well, I guess my first thing is if you don't have flood insurance and can get flood insurance and live next to a waterway, I would say by all means, money well spent. Second thing is, as I say, some of that money set aside by Governor Ducey. We put in for a grant, and we had one sandbag machine, and we have purchased another. And so we have a machine where you put sand from a loader in a machine, and it automatically fills sandbags. And so we have been delivering pallets of sandbags throughout this part of the county. Kellner Canyon, Ice House, I don't know all of the locations, but they're established locations to where we have put out pallets of sandbags. And the public's welcome to go to those pallets and take sandbags and use them for securing their properties or to divert water from them properties. And as those sandbags go away, we restock that area. So if there's an area out one of the canyons and there's not any sandbags where there has been, there will be as soon as we get some more sandbags filled up. And so, you know, and the thing of it is there again, if there is a, you know, baseball team or football team or somebody that would care to help us with sandbags or some nonprofit organization of some type, we would appreciate that as well. And even perhaps placing some sandbags. Some of the elderly people could use some help with things like that. So like I say, if you know, we're looking at some tough times coming, and if anyone would care to volunteer, if they'll call my office and okay, if you're elderly as well and you can't fill sandbags, that's okay. If you want to volunteer, let us know what you are there for. If you're there for moral support or maybe to deliver meals or something of that nature,
sure.
if you call in, let us know that you're willing to volunteer, but your limitations of where you're willing to volunteer. And like I say, if you're willing to go through a class with the Red Cross, that would be great. But if you want to volunteer and not do that, I'm sure down the road we will find a place where you're needed.
Absolutely. Now, I want to mention the phone number again and mention that we're live. It is Tuesday, and it is 5:43, so it's a live show, and your participation is encouraged. Okay, I'd go to door-to-door if I could, but failing that, just trundle over to a phone, and that's 888-876-5593. 8888-ROLLYE, and that will get you to Tim Humphrey right now as I speak. And the floods are one thing, the fire another issue, and I think all of us have experienced where you drive down the street and someone's got a lot of dead foliage or other things going on, and you're saying, this is a fire hazard. Now, is code enforcement or whoever would be in charge of that kind of stepping up the patrols to really kind of try to nip that in the bud before disaster strikes?
Well, The thing of it is now that the rains have started, some of those brush piles aren't as dangerous as they probably once were. But beef up code enforcement is difficult without beefing up budget. We have one code enforcement agent in Southern Gila County and one code enforcement agent in Northern Gila County. And so the thing of it is one thing is that the county does not operate by going out and looking for issues. They operate on complaints.
Okay.
And so the thing of it is people have neighbors that may have collections of things that they have no appreciation for. And so the thing of it is yes, we do have our code enforcement. And a lot of people say, well, there's nothing gets done. Well, it does, but it takes time and patience, because those people with their collection of things, they have rights as well. And so if there's a complaint and the code enforcement finds a violation, usually code enforcement will give them 30 days to clean it up, as by which Dollar Dump Day is back after COVID. And that's the second Saturday of every month that you can go dump for a dollar. And I would appreciate it if the contractors would tell them they're a contractor and not try to dump a load of stuff for a dollar, because they're charging the customer. So then if the person doesn't clean up that, then they can be set to a hearing officer. And when I first got elected, the hearing officer and the code enforcement officer were both paid county employees. So therefore, if a fine was implemented, they couldn't really address the issue or push the issue, because they were both paid county employees. So
now, why is that?
Well, that's just because you can't be the judge and the jury.
Okay, so with a fine, who would be levying the fine?
Now we have fixed that.
Oh,
because
good. Tell me about it.
What we did is we went in and the code enforcement officer is still a paid county employee. The hearing officer is no longer a paid county employee, but a subcontractor who is licensed with the state of Arizona to do hearings. So now when the county implements, when the hearing officer implements a fine upon you, then you can be turned into a collection agency. And we've done that in several cases. And like some of the larger mortgage companies that are out of state and things like that, we've contacted them over properties that they have foreclosed on that they didn't even realize was their property. Mm-hmm. But they hear from a collection agency, they find out real quick that they do have foreclosed properties in Gila County. So it does work. And then once they go in front of the hearing officer does a hearing, and he may give the individual more time, mm-hmm. depending. It's his deal to clean it up. And sometimes it takes like 30 days to get a schedule before the hearing officer. So sometimes if you make a complaint and things don't happen in 2 weeks, that's not because we don't care. That's not because we're not trying. It's just because sometimes to go through the system without violating somebody's rights, sometimes it can take 3 to 4 months to get before a hearing officer.
Well, the collection agency sounds marvelous, because some people are not particularly afraid of having a lien placed on their property or whatever, because it's fairly inert initially. But a collection agency coming and saying, hey, it's going to be on your credit report, that I would assume gets a certain amount of action.
It does. And that's one of the reasons that I pushed to change that, because people don't care. They're never going to sell the house.
Right.
And if go ahead and lien it for $250,000, they don't care. They're never going to be on the other end. So this is more to try to make individuals more responsible for their actions, and it's not only for code violations. While we were doing it, we did it for animal control, building without a permit, raw sewage, all those kind of things that are in violation can go before the same hearing officer with the same penalty.
It's interesting about hearing officers. Now, I assume they're not paid on commission.
I really don't know how they're paid.
Yeah, and, I'd be curious
and I haven't
about
checked
that.
In to see how they're paid. I'm just glad they're
yeah.
there
oh, yeah.
doing
yeah.
their hearings. And they I you know, I don't know, a lot of our contracts are X amount of dollars not to exceed.
Uh-huh.
So then they set their hearings according to, I would guess. I don't know. I just worked on the logistics of getting it accomplished, and then I kind of walked away and got into other things. But on happier notes, we're getting an awful lot of good things done. Although COVID was a bad thing, it freed up some low interest money. And
yes.
and the thing of it is the county is now all caught up on their state audits. At one time they were down like by 7 years, and, but we're caught up on our state audits. So now that we're caught up on our state audits, we have a double A rating, credit rating, which right. is almost unheard of for a rural county. And so the thing of it is when that COVID low interest money came into effect, we were able to put out some bonds and borrow money to pay back some of our high interest loans.
Good.
And enable us to do some construction projects that have been needed for a long, long time. In Northern Gila County, now we are establishing a structure, which some people said, Tim, you sold us out. They're gonna have the county seat and facing. It's like, no, I didn't sell you out, and nobody wants the county seat and facing. But we are having a structure up there for county offices, so we can get rid of some of the offices, because right now we got offices kind of scattered around
right.
Payson. So it's like building a salad and go to Safeway for your tomatoes and fries for your lettuce and around like that. So it's to get our county complexes more in control, so people can get their organization done. But also too, so the people from the northern part, it's a place big enough where they can have jury trials and jury selection. So those people, it's hard enough to get people to show up for jury. And so when they have to drive for an hour and a half to come to Globe for jury, so we're getting that done in Payson, which is great. And in Globe, we've got some remodeling done on our sheriff's office, on our sheriff's jail, which was really needed. And also too, if you haven't seen it out by the fairgrounds, we have a new animal shelter that is a
yes.
is a beautiful place, and it's a lot larger. And I pushed real hard to get it built out by the fairgrounds, because I think the relationship with the Department of Corrections and the animals is going to be a great thing.
Oh,
I believe there's like four set up right now with four Department of Correction individuals whom are going to go to the animal shelter and help with the animals and things of that nature. So I think that's a great working relationship with the people, and it's a great facility where people can go spend time with an animal if they're thinking on adopting. And you know, Gila County is working very hard to be a no-kill shelter, so by having a larger, better equipped facility, it gives those animals a lot longer chance to be adopted and things of that nature. So like I say, you know, in everything there's some gloom and doom, but we're getting an awful lot of projects completed that are good. And you know, with Dollar Dump Day, there was some people say, Tim, well, you're filling up the landfill. It's like, well, that's kind of what it's for, but we'll take a second look. And the thing of it is they quit recycling cardboard and paper because I guess China quit buying it because of the because of the contamination. So if you have a bin of cardboard and you throw a couple pizza boxes in there with the oil, then apparently that just contaminates pretty much the whole deal. And so what I did is I thought, okay, let's start doing some composting.
Mm-hmm.
And because I used to compost as a kid with my grandmother, you know, in small
right.
containers.
Right.
But anyway, so I got to thinking, and so I visited some composting places and found out that, yeah, we have, with our two landfills, we have a lot of green waste, tree trimmings and things of that nature. And we also have a lot of cardboard and newspaper that we're burying. So I thought, well, let's put some compost together. And the town of Miami's facility puts out a grade A sludge. And so the thing of it is I figured out the formula, and there's other places doing it on how we could build some compost. And so the thing of it is then at one of my clay pool meetings, the state had come to talk about some of the state projects that they were working on. And so I gave them my spiel about the compost, and I said, well, I can't spend taxpayer money building compost if I don't have anywhere for it to go. So ADOT raised her hand and says, Tim, we'll take your compost. And I said, serious? And they said, yeah. So long story short, we work with them, and they set up a pilot program with us for like 50 tons of compost. So we leased the equipment, or borrowed the equipment, and we built compost for ADOT. Mm-hmm. And now ADOT has the compost, and they have a project where they have put it out alongside the road with the natural seed. And now it's just kind of on hold until February, because they're going to see how it does naturally through the raining seasons and stuff. But they said that if it produces as they believe it should, then they will take quite a bit of compost to do work on the sides of the roads in our area, on our highways around. So that would be a great thing if that goes forward. And just recently I got a text from Capstone, who's working on a little project that they want to use some of the compost on yet.
Oh,
so
great.
So that's not a full-fledged deal, but I think it would be a great thing and a great future for Gila County if we could get into creating the compost to not fill up our landfills and instead of burying our paper and green waste. And then it gives the town of Miami a place to go with their sludge, and if we get enough projects going, perhaps the city of Globe as well. To get rid of the problem that they have with their sludge backing up and having piles of it. So hopefully we've got some real good things going on, as well as some of the hardship things of the rain and things coming. Yeah.
Now, speaking of ADOT, the bridge project looks like it's almost complete. I know a lot of people were unhappy at the thought of replacing a two-lane bridge with another two-lane bridge, but here we are.
Is that there by Connie's?
Yeah, no, the project on Highway 60 in past Miami, the big bridge.
Oh, okay, yes, yes.
It's the one they said, I guess it was built in like 1950 or 52 or something, and they said it's no longer standard, and we're building this other two-lane bridge next to it. I know a lot of people really wanted a four-lane bridge there in terms of looking at, because with a two-lane bridge, you're sort of tying 60 to being two-lane for another 50 years.
Yeah, and again, that's an ADOT project,
yes.
And at first, when it went out for bid, it was too costly, so they rebid, and so talking to some of my constituents, I got with the state and says, okay, well, why demo the old bridge?
Exactly.
Why not leave it for like a walk bridge, just secure it? And they you know, for reasons I don't know, they chose not to, perhaps safety or liability or something of that nature. Like I say, that's a little out of my realm, because that's the state. But it would have been nice to be able to walk that old bridge, in my opinion, because, you know, we also worked real hard to create the website Discover Gila County.
Right.
And a lot of people have. Since that's been out, the motel rooms and things have gone up, the rentals, and so it has helped a lot. Of course, these fires have taken away a lot of our beautiful panoramic views and scenery, but hopefully before too long, some of that growth will come back.
And it's still magnificent. The drive from the valley to here, I don't think there is a prettier drive when you're leaving the Phoenix metropolitan area than that. It's just exquisite, and will continue to be.
Yeah, it is. It's really a pretty place. And the rock climbers will have more access to climb now that there's not all the brush in the way in some of those places. Yeah. It'll open up new areas for them.
Now, this is also way out of your purview, but a lot of people very worried about Resolution Copper and whether that project will get underway as planned or what's going on. What's the latest on that?
You know, I have not been in touch with any of their representatives for a while. Brian Seppel and I used to get together quite often on different boards, he and I were on. And so we used to communicate on different levels and kind of what's going on. But at this point, he has been kind of reassigned. And so I haven't heard from any of the Resolution people.
Interesting. Yeah, because I know a lot of people are wondering, and the Forest Service had something on their site that, if you read between the lines, made it seem like this is happening this summer, but of course the opponents are very vocal, saying nothing's happening anytime. But what's happening right at the moment is we're going to tell you who we are.
KQSS Miami.
It's country and more.
And this is the More part. I'm Raleigh James, and I'm talking with District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey. This is a live community meeting. The community clearly isn't calling. That would be 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. And as I say, we're live. It's Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock, and you are welcome to join us with any of your calls and your comments. We're planning on doing this monthly, so if it takes you a little while to ramp up to get that nerve to call, well, that's okay. But if there's something on your mind right now, we'd love to hear from you. Tim, one of the things you were mentioning about the low interest and the grants and all these things makes me think one of our critical issues in, and this is true of rural America everywhere, broadband. And I understand that there's been work on that.
Yes, we're moving forward on broadband. As a matter of fact, we put in for a grant for broadband for our schools and libraries. And we received that. It is contracted. And they are putting fiber in the ground at this point. So probably within the next year, I'm hoping that we will have broadband at all our schools and libraries.
And that'll be symmetrical speed?
I don't know. I'm doing good to use my smartphone, Raleigh, to be honest with you.
I hope it will.
Because
that's
it'll be
critical.
Fiber, so
well,
it will be as
it should be.
It should be as good as it gets. I'm hoping, and so the thing of it is once that's established, then it just takes a utility company to get it to the businesses and the homes. And you know, because the first step's always the hardest. And so the thing of it is by hats off to staff very much for being able to reach and reach beyond and work on things. And there again, we were able to reach for grants and things that were a double A rating that we weren't able to reach for before. And because they're not going to give you money if they don't know where you're spending it. So you get caught up on your audits and everybody knows where you're spending your money. Well, yeah, then you can put in for more grants, which since then we've hired a full-time grant writer, which that's her job, and has actually brought millions of dollars of things into the constituents realm that weren't there before.
But, excellent.
But yeah, the broadband is a better look now, I'm thinking, and I have heard, and I don't know for sure, but I heard that like APS is working with Sparklight as well, so none of that has really come out or on the table or anything, but I do know that we did get the contract.
Good.
And we are going to have broadband at our schools and libraries.
Good. Well, I do want to know the specs, so get that for me for next time. Unfortunately, with cable providers and such, they tend to want to be asymmetrical. They don't want to give you the same upstream, and without that, you've got real problems. And when cities across the country have gotten involved, like Chattanooga's EPB, probably the most famous, with symmetrical broadband, the world opens up. And it's you can start looking at things like telemedicine and stuff that you just can't do with an asymmetrical connection. Sure. So the other thing is, as much as we want to talk about it in Globe or Miami, we're the Cadillac compared to Payson. Their broadband situation is just abysmal. So I assume that there's going to be a lot of work on that.
Yeah, it's called the last mile, and it's kind of making a full circle. You know, so yeah, there is an area there where it's really not, the fiber is really not good, yeah. And a place where it's not installed at all. So yes, that's being worked on as well. And the thing of it is too, is if broadband is an interest, Raleigh, I can bring one of the county staff who's been working with this broadband project, yeah, to do a little presentation of what's going to be coming.
Oh, I'd love that.
And what's kind of expected. I'll make a little note, and the next time we set up, I'll bring a guest with me,
okay,
whom is more in touch with the broadband project, with the schools, and they're also up on what's going on with the broadband up north for that last, yeah, mile and things of that nature, to kind of give an overview of where we're going with that.
No, it's great. They can also do it by phone. That's no problem. Same as being here.
Sure.
And
sure,
we can have someone on the phone who can also take calls from other people. That's not a problem. And the problem is getting people to call. But I was talking to Tim earlier, and I said, you know, this is going to take a few months before it builds. So he kind of said to me, I hope you have questions. And I said, I don't have a question in the world. But it turns out maybe I had a few. So,
well, the thing of it is you know, you just have to try new things, and I'm all for if how can things be better? Well, I, sure, don't know. Try something different. And so the thing of it is we've tried in-person meetings in this area, and they went okay, but they didn't go as well, mm-hmm, as I was hoping that they would. Like I say, in my rural areas, the meetings go well. The people are interested in their community, and they're there to let me know what they think needs to be going on. And maybe here, because they know staff and employees of the county and stop by and talk to them. They don't talk to the supervisor because they don't need to. They just go talk to their brother's cousin's friend who's head of the road, right, department or whatever, and try to get things done that way. But I would hope at some point in time that we would get some people interested in this program, because you know, a difficulty I had is getting in touch with people,
right,
and I don't want to not give people the opportunity to let me know things that they feel need to be changed or done, because when I got elected, I feel as if I work for the people, and if they don't let me know things, then I don't know everything, and I try to get around the county as much as possible. Like the floods, I try to drive there as soon as it's, right, safe and not get in the way of first responders. But then I go through as the construction work's going on too. And like I say, my little meetings from Geisela to Tonneau Basin to Roosevelt to maybe trying live here, it's like, if you have a problem with the county, I'm trying to give people the opportunity to let me know. And a lot of it could be policies that were written 40 years ago that don't work as well as they should. But if they don't, let me know, because we have been known to change some policies. Yeah. And if policies aren't working the way they should for today's world, we'll by all means, the Board of Supervisors could change those policies. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's a work in progress, for sure.
Compared to floods and fires, it seems almost small stuff, but the idea of the community pool has been out there for a while, and of course it's an interesting situation with regard to taxing districts, because you're talking about unincorporated versus cities, towns, and so forth. What's up with that? Where are we?
Well, you know, where we're up with that is right now, I understood that the City of Globe is perhaps going to spend some money in working on their pool.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure what the town of Miami's doing. And if someone would like to call in, they're more than welcome. Because I don't get real informed in some of those areas because I try to keep my nose out of the mayor and council's business. But we do work on projects together, and the mayors and I get along real well. And anything that we've needed to work on, we've been able to. But as far as the Aqua Center, yeah. We are going to have, I've talked to Evelyn Vargas, we're going to have another work session. Mm-hmm. And a work session is where people can present to the Board of Supervisors, because Gila County is a 3-supervisor board. Mm-hmm. So I am not able to sit and talk to Supervisor Klein or Supervisor Christensen, because it only takes 2 votes to change the county. So we're not allowed to call each other. As a matter of fact, the phone won't even ring if one of them call my phone to communicate. So in order for us to communicate on a project or something that may come before the board at some point in time, we have work sessions. So that Evelyn can come and present what she wants to present to the Board of Supervisors. So staff kind of gets an idea of how the Board of Supervisors feel about it. And staff is also there to ask questions as the supervisors need a question answered. And so the thing of it is I think before, it needed to go to the state legislature in order for the city and the county to both be in on a taxing deal.
Right.
And so the legislature never voted for that. They're not for raising taxes, so they just said no. So the thing of it is I think, you know, in the future what may come up, and I don't know for sure, is that it may go out to the taxpayers to see, hey, do you want an Aqua Center? And if you do, how much are you willing to spend? I mean, another 2 cents per 100 on your property taxes? And if so, good. And if not, well, no. So then it said, okay, why should the people in northern Gila County pay for a pool in southern Gila County? Well, maybe they don't have to. Maybe the voters will say, I want an Aqua Center up north and south. And the majority of them would like to have a taxing district to have that luxury. I don't know. But like I say, we work for the people. Right. And so that's why I'm going, you know, to have a work session on it. I'm chairman of the board now, so I kind of help set up what's going to be on our agendas and what's going to be on our work sessions. And so we do have a work session coming up here shortly on that. And so it will be presented to us, which all of the information presented to us is public information. And perhaps it'll be put out to the public. Does the majority of the public want an Aqua Center and are willing to pay the property taxes for that?
Now, would that be countywide?
That would be countywide.
Okay. And let's say that doesn't work. At that point, is it possible to revisit the legislature? In other words, is it completely over? Is that option gone?
You know, the thing of it is nothing's ever over until somebody quits trying.
Well, right.
My hat's off to Evelyn and the people that have tried as hard and have been turned down but just aren't taking no and keep swinging that bat.
Well, and I've been looking at you this whole time not realizing we actually have a caller.
All right.
So, John, in Globe. Let's see. I've actually got my magic twanger for this. Welcome to the Tim Humphrey Community Meeting, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors. What's your question?
Well, I was talking to Wendy a few days ago about the county fair, and I wondered if Tim has some information about what's coming up in September.
Good question.
Okay, yeah, no, thank you. The thing of it is this came up across my desk just a couple days ago. The thing of it is you can go on the Gila County website for the Gila County Fair, and it can probably give you more information. But the thing of it is yes, I understand that there will be a fair this year, but it will be more for entries and animals, and not entertainment. I don't believe there will be like live bands and things, and I don't believe there will be a carnival, but there will be entries, and there will also be animals at that fair this year.
Good.
I also heard that it was going to be delayed a little bit, that it would be the last weekend of September rather than when it's usually held.
Yeah, there again, I'm not sure the date, but I do believe it's on the county website under Gila County Fair, and I think maybe even entries and things of that nature would be on the county website under the Gila County Fair portion.
Another subject, you were talking about the new Animal Control Center. Originally it was planned to be open in June. Do you know when it will be open?
Shortly, real shortly, because it's built, and I think they were having the final inspection tomorrow, either today or tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So once that final inspection passes, then it will be green lights to go.
That's great.
Now, will there be new jobs for the facility, or is it pretty much already done?
You know, the thing of it is all through COVID and stuff and unemployment being as high as it was and things of that nature, we have had two animal control positions open for about a year.
Wow.
And with no interest. And so, you know, okay, maybe the county doesn't pay $1 million. But it comes with benefits and it comes with a job and it comes, you know, if you're interested in animals and working to help animals and people be educated on animals, I just had that conversation because the county's got several positions open. They just have had no one apply.
Interesting. So those animal control positions are still open?
I believe so, yes.
Wow. No, that should be an opportunity.
Is there a website or something where you can find that information?
Yeah, under HR, Human Resources for the county. And we've made a lot of changes with our Human Resources, too. We have a new acting director for our Gila County Human Resources. And so... You know, like before, some people got frustrated because you had to put in for a particular job, and if you didn't get that job, then your application kind of went away. So we've done some work with that. If we get a qualified application for a position, that application doesn't go away because a week from now, if a position opens, we'll call you back.
Oh, good.
And it might not be in that particular field, but it'll be within that realm to see perhaps if you were or would be interested. And so, yeah.
Does the county recruit for the sheriff's office as well?
You know, I can't answer that. I would think maybe through Human Resources you could get the information, but that's a whole nother training program. I think it takes almost 2 years of training to become a on patrol sheriff on your own. So yeah, that has academy included and things. I would imagine that through the Human Resources you could get to where you are with the sheriff on applying.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. And goodbye. How about you calling? That's 888-876-5593, 888-88-ROLLYE. We've got Chairman of the Board of Supervisors and District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey in the studio, and we're planning on doing this monthly, and as you can kind of tell, absolutely anything is up for grabs, no matter what it is.
You know, the thing of it is I go through every day wondering, you know, am I doing what's required? Am I working for the people? Do the people know? And you know, the thing of it is kind of when I first got elected, I had alligators on me all the time, you know. But the thing of it is I don't know, but I would, you know, people are more than welcome to call, and it doesn't have to be good news. You don't have to call with an attaboy. You can call with an old shucks, because I know that we're not perfect. But we try. And if we have issues, we can't try to fix them if we don't know that there are issues.
Right. Right.
And so the thing of it is I hope you have people listening. I hope they're at least appreciating our conversation as much as they would some music or something of that nature. Maybe an hour was reaching for our first program. I mean I could talk for 3 days.
Well, you can stop anytime you want.
So talking for an hour doesn't bother me at all. But I was expecting some call-ins, especially with the things that have gone on in our community and kind of some of the threats that are looking at us in the face or some of the just some of the normal stuff. I was hoping for callers.
Yeah.
Because I'm not shy. That's why I get in front of the public. It's like if you don't hold my feet to the fire, I can't hold staff's feet to the fire. It's kind of how I look at it.
Oh, absolutely. And anything is up for grabs. And like I said, you know, if you had asked me beforehand, will I get callers, I probably would have told you, not at first, you won't. That's where you bribe the staff, you see, for each one of them to call in. But, you know, till other people start picking up on that. But certainly there are a number of people with a number of gripes. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about at the corner bar. It probably is a little more helpful to talk to a supervisor. And maybe you're saying, I don't have the time to make an appointment or go down there or go to a community meeting. Well, you got the time to listen to the radio and you got a phone and, hey, I'm paying for the call. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Now, the other thing that I hear people bring up fairly repeatedly, and I think it may be for the first time since I've been here, it's on the right track, but is the Tri-City Sanitary District, because it's been going on for so very long.
Well, you know, the thing of it is it's gaining steam. And the thing of it is, it says it's been going on forever and nothing happened. Well, you know, the thing of it is, you know, if the local government is not interested in a project, probably your national government's not going to be. And you know, it took a long time to get off the ground. I know I spent a lot of time in Washington lobbying for the funding. And you know, my hat's off to Jeff Hayes for helping us. But we did get the funding for Tri-City. And the thing of it is, for infrastructure, I think it's a very important program. I think it's a necessary program. And some people care to differ with me, and that's okay. But for the majority and for all of the kind of some of the failing properties are because they had failing systems.
Right.
And so what does that do to our infrastructure? That doesn't help. And the thing of it is construction anymore, just to go buy a lot and build a house, we don't have any lots. And so by bringing a new sanitary system in, then that's going to help some of these even smaller contractors or even private individuals, investors, to buy some of these older properties and go in and either remodel them, as you've done this place. You've done a beautiful job with your station here. You know, and encouraged to do it because you're going to be able to use a restroom in it, you know, because some of these old systems are on the verge of failing because some of them are not septic tanks, they're cesspools. And once a cesspool quits functioning, county has no reason other than to tell you that you can't live there anymore.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you're bringing up something that I think a lot of people are missing this who aren't for this project, because these lots with cesspools, and that's most of them, not even some, it's a good majority in the Tri-City District. When those cesspools fail, you say, okay, I'll put in a septic, except you can't.
Because then you don't have room for the leach line.
That's it. The EPA regulations on your lot in that house won't let you do that.
Right.
So you're literally talking about being condemned, what it comes down to.
Well, you know, also too, you know, when you have that many cesspools, septic tanks, what's that doing to our groundwater?
Oh, no.
Or does anybody want to know the answer to that question?
No doubt that's true, but that's not nearly as urgent as saying we have the potential of entire neighborhoods being, you know, uninhabitable.
Sure.
And the one thing I think people are very frustrated with, and I agree with this, is that over a dozen years, people have been taxed for this phantom sewer, including people who are never going to be served,
right,
such as Vertical Heights, or right, people who are already paying right to Miami.
Right.
So I understand they've straightened that out.
Well, no, but they're on the road to Vertical Heights. We have worked with them, and yes, they're going to come out of the taxing of that. But the thing of it is, you know, when this started, everybody was complaining that Tri-City didn't have a demographic of what their district was. Well, neither did Glover, Miami. Mm-hmm. And so the thing of it was is all the Gila County Town of Globe, or City of Globe, Town of Miami, all got together and sat down at one table with Central Arizona Government, CAG, as kind of a referee and help everybody design their demographics. And so a lot of people argue that we don't need another plant, a sewer plant, because we've got two. We've got Globe and Miami, and they can handle it. Well, the way the federal government looks at it is, if what is 90% of the cost of Tri-City is the plumbing in the ground to the houses.
Okay.
That's 90% of it. 10% of it is the treatment plant. So the thing of it is why are they going to give you all of that money to negotiate with the City of Globe, Town of Miami, on fees and what it's going to charge and who's going to get the sludge? So they're saying, okay, first phase, you've got to put in the plant.
Right.
And then we'll give you all the money for all the plumbing. And the neat thing of it is, too, is there's people within the city limits whom do not have the luxury of being on city sewer.
Right.
And so once Tri-City goes, you know, I've talked to Mayor Gomeros, and why can't we sit down and say, okay, we're going to go into Tri-City. Why doesn't the plumbing? We'll just do that plumbing part of wherever the City of Globe does not have sewer. Tri-City can run that there. And then the City of Globe and Tri-City can work out who pays who, what, and when.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's something that can be worked out. And so the thing of it is it's a project that I'm pushing for, and people that are interested, they've got a new board, they got a new president who I have a lot of respect for, and we're also going to have a work session with Tri-City in August.
Good.
I have set up a meeting, and they're going to come and talk to the Board of Supervisors for an hour. And so the thing of it is if you're interested in Tri-City, good or bad, I recommend that you either come to the courthouse and sit in on that work session, and they're advertised ahead of time of when it's going to be. I don't know the exact date, but I do know it's in August. And the thing of it is if you can't make it to the courthouse, since COVID, all of the Board of Supervisors meetings, whether they're agenda meetings or hearing meetings, are on YouTube. So, I mean, you can sit and listen, and you can type in comments if you want to make them. So there again, we've sat here for an hour, and thank John for calling in, and not a lot of other people did. But, you know, the thing of it is it's your community, and if you have an interest in your community, if you have an interest in a project in your community, by all means, be vocal about it. Stand up, be heard, because you know, I always use the example, if a crying baby doesn't cry, how do you know they're wet or hungry? You don't. You sit there and do little Google thing. They start screaming, you go to figuring out why.
Right.
So, you know, the thing of it is if you're pro or con Tri-City, be verbal, and if the supervisor's setting his target up there for you, by gosh, push a button. It's easy.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, the meetings are great. And of course, even if you don't catch the YouTube live, you can look at it later. So if your interest is being informed, it's absolutely there and it's available. And so will this, providing Tim is willing to come back next month.
You bet. I'll be here, and hopefully we can get some people interested in some projects, some interested in volunteering, and get open and vocal, and let's see where we can go with this community as we get to rolling and get things going.
Absolutely. This will be recorded, well, it is recorded, and it will be played on KJAA. That will be Saturday morning at 8 a.m., 1240 a.m. And I also will probably put a file up online. I'll get the phone numbers from Tim, such as how to contact Terry and such, as well as putting the file up in case you missed it. But emphatically, we're trying to get you to call. And I've got a month to figure out how to either bribe or threaten you to do that. And until then, I guess we'll just say that this is a wrap, and thanks very much for listening.